Sister Amanda, thank you so much. Very appropriate song,
Amen.
Message of the song. We're coming together for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful, Brother Mike Patterson, Becky, Jennifer, good to see you. So thankful that this conference, the attention and the focus of Mount Abiram Missions has brought this time of year for pastors and missionaries to come together. And we've taken the time to come together for the focus of souls. And when we're partnering to proclaim the truth, when we come together for this purpose, we realize that it's an important endeavor. And I'm just refreshed.
Amen.
I'm refreshed by being here. You know, there's something the Lord did in my heart this morning in prayer meeting. I look over and I see a young man, and I do mean he's a man. He's young, but he's a missionary's son. And I thought, wow, the Lord just kind of spoke to me. You know, there's missionary children, missionary kids. Brother Bill Patterson has just been, for me, one of the closest and dearest friends that a pastor can have and partner with. Then I think about his family. I think about his dear wife and their children and going to places in India in their ministry, and then God called them to Mongolia, and now they are involved in, Brother Bill's ministry is involved in Bible translation and putting the Bible into the hands of the Mongolian people. And he sent me the first copies. Brother Bill and I, we have such a fellowship. Every single time we come together. But I think about those, and God really just put on my heart, Brother Ryan, where you at? Come on up. I found out Ryan has a life verse, and I asked him to just give his life verse and a brief testimony about how God has allowed him to be a part of a missionary team. And let him give his testimony. Come on, Ryan. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Patterson, and my last verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And anyway, I just want to thank God for letting me be a missionary kid and be a part of his plan of spreading the gospel around the world, and it's just a great blessing, and all the opportunities I get, you know, getting to go different places, living in four countries outside of the United States, it's wonderful, all the opportunities, and I know most people don't get those opportunities, and I feel very blessed. Thank you.
You see, you never see through their eyes quite like what they get to see, what they get to experience. But you see, I want you to know, partnering with some of the most wonderful people on the planet, Steve Vellante and others that we get to be a part of their ministries and and see through their eyes. I can't wait to get to Ghana. Worth, you guys blazed the trail for us and made it possible for us to use your name and your endeavor among our people just to encourage them that we as a church can do this also. And of course, Brother Steve is making that possible, and a gracious host, and I know it'll just be a great endeavor. Last night, my dear friend, Brother Harold Payne, pastor of Truth Baptist Church, Baytown, Texas, came up. I could not make the evening service, so I got here a little late, and then we went out and ate after service. We got to go to a Cheddar's over here on, I don't know where it's at, some what is it? Little Road. And we had a waitress. You know what her name was? I've never heard. I said, "What is your name?" She said, "Christian." I said, "Are you?" And she said, "No." And in her own words, she said, "But I do believe in God." I just tucked that away in my mind, and I went into my restaurant ministry mode. You see, I've learned some things about restaurant ministry. If you witness to somebody, you kind of want to do it at the end of the meal. Because you just do not know what that person may be thinking. So I tucked that away, and we finished up. And sure enough, Brother Harold and I were there, and we just began to engage her. And I said, "Do you have time?" Isn't it amazing how God does things? And when it's God, it's so amazing. And I asked her, I said, "Do you have time?" She says, "I've got 10 minutes before the next meal comes out." "10 minutes. Gee, what am I going to do in 10 minutes? A lady by the name of Christian is standing waiting on me." So I take my iPhone out and I just go to the Bible, and there we go. Roman wrote. And Christian was willing to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Standing at that table, Brother Harold was praying all the time that I was talking to Christian. And Christian became a Christian. I love when God takes over. And it isn't my superb, I promise you. I have most people that know me, they know what I'm about to say is the truth, right? Harold Payne, Dave Brinkman. All my staff is here. Brad Parr, member of our church, he's here. Thank you, Brad, for coming. But they know me, that it isn't me when these things happen like this. It's actually, I think I just stumble into them. But God always moves if we're willing to be used. And that's what I want to communicate to you tonight, is that every single young person that's saved, all the way around the room, every person on the platform, it doesn't matter who you are, there's nobody more special to God than any other person. Everybody's equal with God's favor. You have received, nobody got saved better than anybody else. I coming. Just stop a minute. We're on our way to heaven together. It don't get any better than that. We're on the launch pad. We're just waiting. We're just waiting. Now what are you going to do? You got this thing called time. You got something called time. Look at these young people. I squint my eyes. I kind of used to look like some of them. How about some of you? Yeah. Now they're looking up at me and saying, no way. No way. Gosh. Time goes. Ladies and gentlemen, just about that quick, we was like that. And now what? Dr. Charles Keene said it the absolute best this morning. Stirred my heart. If you don't reach this generation, you will reach no generation. We got to be primed and ready right now. I mean, we need to stand up for the Lord and proclaim the absolute truth of God. Turn, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1, Paul writes, he says, therefore, seeing we have this, everybody say it, ministry. Father, in Jesus' name, I need your help. I don't want to be the preacher. I want you to be the preacher. I want you to do what I cannot do. I can't even go into a heart. I can't do any convincing. I can't do any converting. I can't do any... Lord, all of this work is yours. Lord, this is your word. It's not mine. Everything that I am involved... This is... I want to be a yielded vessel for your use. And so, Lord, get all the glory. I don't want any of it. I want you to receive the glory. And if there's anything good as we walk out of this room tonight, may it all be laid at your feet. In the most wonderful, matchless, supreme name ever to come to our ears and ever to be. Brought forward through our mouths, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said, amen. I just want to preach to you for a little while on this ministry. This ministry. Do you know how much of a privilege it is for, if you've been called into the ministry in any way, form, or fashion, let's tonight remind ourselves how much of a privilege it is to be in the ministry. Amen. To just have any part. I told Brother Keene today, I said, I'm like whatever is under my fingernail right there, that's about how much I'm involved. I'm doing, you know, oh, by the way, when's the last time you was in Chickasha, Oklahoma? Huh? Yeah. But how come the rest of you hadn't been there lately? Where you been? I mean Chickasha, Oklahoma, the cultural, intellectual, and spiritual center of the universe. Where you been? Hey, I'm there. That ought to be worth something right there. That ought to be worth it all. You're going to come see Kim Hayes in Chickasha, Oklahoma, home of the Chickasha Fighting Chicks. Let's give a rousing cheer, boys, for old Chick High. Come on, help me. I know, I just heard that. Who did that? Ah, mockery. The chicken will get you. Yeah, I know. Folks, do you know what we get to do in Chickasha, Oklahoma? Are you ready? Ministry! That's it. That's it. Punch the clock, and for the time we're there, thank the Lord for, listen to this, saved at 11. These guys, they tuned me out right there. They know where I'm headed. My staff, they're going, they know where I'm going. Anybody in the room ever knew a fella by the name of W.W. Baker? There you go, some of you guys with the snows of many winters upon your brow. They're the only ones that knew Brother Baker. He preached a revival in 1967, and an 11-year-old boy sitting in the pew with his mama I couldn't stand it any longer. And on a Friday night, in a September revival meeting with an old cowboy preacher by the name of W.W. Baker, preaching. And you know what? Brother Jack York was the pastor then. And he kept those old reel-to-reel tapes. And years and years and years later, when I'm pastoring, I'm up at Brother Jack's church in Tuttle, Oklahoma. He still had those old reel-to-reel tapes. And he had the message that was preached the night I got saved. Do you know what the title of the message was? How to Have a Successful Nervous Breakdown. I kid you not. Old Brother Baker, no matter what the title was, I mean, it was heaven sweet and hell hot. And it didn't really matter that night, because all that was going on in my heart was conviction. Do you want to hear tonight the singular reason why Kim Hayes got saved? Here it is. I didn't want to go to hell. I just didn't want to go to hell. Man, that's just exactly why I got saved. And did you know? I've been saved ever since. And I'm 57 years old. Not bad shape for 57, huh? Now listen to this. To my shame and my regret, and I want young people to listen. This is my testimony, but to my shame and my regret, my high school years in Chickasha, Oklahoma, were a zero for God. Zero. I didn't witness. My church attendance was All I can think about is about 208 graduating seniors. Chickasha High School. And I flunked. No witness. But in my senior year, leaving class, I'm with my buddies, my friends, and I'm blending in, and I'm living a lie, and I'm walking out of class, and they're all around me, and we're walking to the parking lot. I'm going to my car to go to work, and I look up. And to this day, I don't know who this guy was. I think he may have been in the military. He looked to me like he was an in-shape guy with a stocking cap on, a bald head, blue. And he's coming across the parking lot, and he's looking at only one person. And that one person is me. And he walks right up to me in front of five or six of my then buddies, friends. And he looks directly at me and asks me this question: are you saved? And I immediately responded to him out loud, yes. When I said yes, Randall Ratzliff, right beside me, slapped me, hit me with his back of his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Hayes, what are you, a Jesus freak?" I took Randall home in my car. I was his ride. And our conversation, it was the very first time that I ever told somebody else that I was saved. But because of the life that I was living in high school, the Holy Spirit of God, it's like all of a sudden, you see, there isn't a child of God that gets by with nothing. You do know that, don't you? You just don't get by with nothing. And I was running my little game, and I was doing it my little way, and I thought, but there I was with all my high school buddies, and one person with a three-word question in front of them, and I've never seen him since. Are you saved? That's it. Changed my life forever. Because see, from that time till now, I still reference the moment the Holy Spirit of God... And my little game was over with, and my little running, my little party time was done, and it was all over with now, because now I just told everybody I was saved. Now what? I had to do some thinking. And there was from that time, and by the way, talked to Randall. And I had to try to explain to him about salvation in the most awkward. I had no scripture. I was so far away from what I should be that I was having to just. Did the most horrible time of trying to tell a guy, from the standpoint that I was in and the sham and the phoniness that I was trying to tell this friend. Got graduated out of high school, same bunch. But they began to notice. I can remember statements like this: Hayes, you're different. And I went, my friends called me Colby. That's my middle name. So my high school friends, they always called me Colby. Kim Colby Hayes. They'd say, Colby, come go with us. And I was dating my now wife, and the Lord worked in her heart also, surely. The Lord worked in her heart. The Lord worked in my heart. And there we are, realizing, and on January of 1975, the very first Sunday that a fellow by the name of Jesse Simon became pastor of Bible Baptist Church. It was his first Sunday. I couldn't wait for Brother Jesse to finish his sermon on Sunday morning, because the real preacher in the room had already rung my bell, and I hit that altar, and my then girlfriend, Shirley, was right beside me, and another fella that had been under conviction was a neighbor of mine, a little older, Danny Black. Us three that morning, for the first time in my life, I vowed a vow to God. You know what the vow was? And I've told the church this many times. But my vow to God, my prayer to God was this, and it was a vow from my heart. I want to be here every time the doors are open. I really didn't know what all that meant. I just knew that real Christians and people that were serving God was in God's house every time the door was open. And my vow was that Sunday morning, God, I want to be here every time the door's open. And I told the church, I said, that's why I'm your pastor. I can't leave this place. I vowed a vow to God. I've been there. Listen, Brother Simon saw such wonderful qualities in me. Huh? You can already tell there's wonderful qualities in me. You picked up on that. You are sharp people. And about a couple of years in, and green as a gourd, I still don't feel like I'm qualified for anything. How in the world Brother Patterson keeps putting doctor in front of my name? He does that. He does that just to dig at me. I know it is, because I don't even make a good nurse. But I'm telling you, 2 years in, Brother Simon was in Chickasha 4 years. 2 years in, he let me. Well, he heard my voice singing, and I just sang louder than everybody else. And so you know what I did? He let me be the song leader, because I sang louder than everybody else. I could actually maybe halfway carry a tune. So he showed me how to wave my arm. He said, just act like you're trying to swat flies. So I did. The youth department was open. I began to have youth ministry there. He left. Another pastor came, Gene Wilson. Isn't that interesting how God works? Why am I standing in this pulpit today? Why am I standing among Mount Abiram Missions? Because Gene Wilson worked with that man in the old Rolling Hills Baptist Church. How about that? That's a throwback. Gene Wilson. See, I've been blessed. I know it's not your life. I know it wasn't your journey. I know it's not your course of life. But I'm a blessed man tonight. I stand before you a very blessed man. Do you know why? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. I met Brother Mike Patterson through Gene Wilson. Met Brother Dr. Ralph McCoy, Becky, the family. How blessed am I? Now I'm doing something I never dreamed I'd be doing. Matter of fact, Brother Patterson didn't know I had a voice for a long time. I never spoke among the greats. I just sat and soaked it up and listened. You'd never believe it now, would you? I was quiet as a church mouse, taking it all in. Oh, listen, I'm telling you tonight. Just to stand here and know that we are partnering, and that the years later, now 31 years of, can you believe, Bible Baptist Church, after Gene Wilson resigned, in November of 1982, extended a call to me to be their pastor. At that time, the church was running about 50-60. And in the 31 years, God has surrounded me with the greatest men on this planet to partner with me at Bible Baptist Church. And I'm speaking about Michael Thompson, 3 years, youth ministry, he and his wife Lori. Paul Countess, 9th year at our church with children's ministry. And David Brinkman, who I love in the Lord, and God allowed him to be persecuted by me. 28 years ministry. Ministry of music and working with our adults. And really, this is not a misstatement. I needed help. God sent me people that are organized and have some. I'm the guy that likes to, "Hello, world! Well, we got to have some organization back here somewhere, you know. Somebody's got to do something. You just can't say hello world all day long, you know. You got to do something." These guys tear their hair out with me. We have a great time. Bible Baptist Church could and is poised to have its best year of ministry. I'm telling you. So, ladies and gentlemen, look at what we have. And I know my time is up. I do know, I don't want to, I never like to go. But what God has done and is doing with not just a local ministry, but you see, all of us have ministry. I'm looking at, how many of you young people in this section, that one section, are saved? Raise your hand. You all have a ministry. Equal to, listen, I'm just as serious as I can. You have the same equal ministry as I do. You're no less. Do you know you have a future, potentially? I pray that you are opening your hearts and minds to do just what we're reading tonight. Three things. Now, I've got to get this to you. Look at this. So we have a ministry. What is ministry? It's serving, serving, serving. That's all it is. Minister. We're called ministers. That's just simply serving. Who are we serving? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're serving Jesus Christ. Oh, man, when I plugged into this, that I can serve Jesus. Amen. And I'm telling you, it don't matter where He leads you, it's going to be the best place you'll ever be. Amen. And the most blessed place. Amen. Listen, it's not an option. Ministry is what you are now in. It's just, what are you doing with it? You are in ministry. We must not fail. We must not fall. We must not falter. because there's souls depending on us. It is easy, I suppose, to kind of take your foot off the... Is there ever a place, Brother Weaver, at Worth Baptist where you can just kind of kick it into neutral and say, man, we're there. I've never arrived. Mount Abiram, look what God's doing. Through ministry. What do you got? You got men, you got women, you got families, you've got people willing. And it's just availability. It's just stepping in the offering plate. It's just saying, God, use me. So what are we doing? Here's what we do every day, 24/7, same thing. Look at verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Here's what we have. We have, notice the scripture, but by manifestation of the truth. Here it is. We are in ministry openly demonstrating the truth. It's not difficult. So, how about truth? Wait a minute, I'm listening to the scripture. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth is Jesus. Truth. So you know what I'm doing in Chickasha, Oklahoma? Bible Baptist Church, for the time I'm there, openly demonstrating the truth. I'm telling you. We're not near finished in Chickasha. There's a lot of ground to cover. But I didn't see anybody hands raised. You come to Chickasha anytime soon. So we're going to fill in till you get there. And so I'm going to ask you, where are you at? And so wherever you're at, I'm looking over at Brother Tyson. You're out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I hadn't been there yet. See, I hadn't seen you in Chickasha lately. You got plans? I didn't think so. So you'll handle, you're going to do all you can to see where God has all of us. We can't gang up like this very, very much because we'll be at each other's throats. God separates us pretty quick. He might let us come together a couple hours, 3 hours a week, but we got to go back. We got to get where we're supposed to be. And why? Because we need to be openly demonstrating the truth. Secondly, look at this. I like verse 5. Well, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, let's don't hide that gospel. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The lost are waiting on us. In whom the God, the devil, Satan, the God, the little g of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I was at the motel right before service. His name's Jacob. He's standing behind. Some of you, you're going to see him again. You've seen him, haven't you? Man, it's just me and old Jacob standing down the lobby. I walk up to him. I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Jacob. I said, Jacob, are you good with directions? He said, well, pretty good. I said, how do you get to heaven? Man, he looked at me. I could tell. It just takes a second for me to be that perceptive. But old Jacob, he put me in a peg hole right quick. He knew where I was headed with that little rabbit trail. Well, I got talking to him. I said, I said, Jacob, do you ever think spiritual thoughts? Not often. Well, I mean, it just the walls closing down, you know. I said, how about your family? Anybody in your family? He said, my grandpa was spiritual. I said, I bet he was a great guy, wasn't he? He says, yeah, he was a good guy. Jacob is attending the local college, and he's almost to graduate a psychology major. You know what that pretty much. So was it my job to put him in a headlock and make him get saved? I can't do that. But you know what? I guarantee you, I knew the Holy Spirit was at work. And he's going to have to think about our time together. I appreciated what he said. He said, he told me, he said, yeah, he says, there's been some others come. I asked him this question. I said, in your lifetime, I bet on your one hand you can count how many times somebody's asked you about the Lord, about being spiritual. He said, oh no, this happens often. He said, there's a bunch of college students coming here and staying. They ask me all the time. He says, one of them tried to convert me. I'm thinking, wow. Look how many times God's come knocking at your door. Pray for Jacob. Some of you might even. We might all get him in a headlock before we get back. You know what? If we could make people get saved, we'd do it, wouldn't we? We just can't do it. But the Holy Spirit of God is going to take care of it. So look at that verse 5. I got to get you through this. Look at verse 5. I'm having too much fun. For we preach Jesus. Okay, so second point. Not only do we openly demonstrate the truth, but look what we do. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. This is it. Here's your assignment. Preach Jesus. Amen. Let's just do that the rest of our life. You want to? Want to? You want to do that? I'm going to do it in Chickasha. How about you? We're just going to keep doing it. And then thirdly, and you're liking that, aren't you? Look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We have a ministry to openly demonstrate truth. We have a ministry to preach Jesus Christ. And we have a ministry of shining light in a dark world. Matthew 5:16. Ye are the light of the world. You know, when a preacher does this, he's done. You're a little light. So you're going to be that light where you go, listen, partnering to proclaim the truth. You and I promise you, look at me, preachers. You're looking at an odd duck. I'm so different, but I'm really a lot like you. I may not comb my hair just like you. I may not cross my T's and dot my I's, but I've got one solid assignment. It's the same one you got. I promise you, we're different, but we're the same. Have I said anything tonight that isn't truth? And it's all right there. It's in the book. Amen. Our assignment is simple. Openly demonstrate the truth wherever you're at. Preach Jesus and be the light. Let's stay. Father, I love you. You're the one that, Lord, did it all. We have done nothing but just be blessed, blessed, blessed. You take this service do in every heart what needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray.
Your head's bowed and eyes closed. I know that God is